This is the Chapel Platform from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, our speaker is Dr. Bob Rhodes, a preacher from Washington, Michigan. The late Dr. Bob Jones Jr. gave the introduction before the message. Dr. Rhodes preached at a meeting of the World Congress of Fundamentalists on Saturday, November 11, 1980, held that year in Manila, the Philippines. His text is Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. Dr. Rhodes' message, urging us to stay by the truth of the Bible, is titled, The Counterfeit Gospel.
I would like to introduce now our first speaker this evening. You will note that the theme of the evening conference is the verities of fundamentalism. Dr. Rhodes, who is our first speaker, he's from the state of Michigan. He stands without apology for the authority of the Word of God. He preaches the gospel without compromise. And his wife is quite active in women's conferences also. He's the boss at home, but when they have women's seminars, she's often invited to speak. It's a talented family, and we're so glad that Brother Rhodes can be with us tonight to deal with the counterfeit message, warning of false religions and the wrong emphasis. Brother Rhodes, God bless you as you preach.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. May I express my personal appreciation to our Philippine brethren for allowing us to come to the Philippines. It's been an eye-opener to me. I've never seen a larger traffic jam in my life than here. I have appreciated seeing also so many brethren, people who know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, halfway around the world for me. But I appreciate being invited here. I do go with my wife sometime. I carry her briefcase. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. My subject is the counterfeit gospel, especially as it's seen in the cults and counterfeit religions today. And I want to use two passages of Scripture. I'll be reading in Galatians chapter 1, the first 9 verses, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. Galatians 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's positive. Now in the next 3 verses, we get negative. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. Now in Scripture, when something is repeated, it's very important. And he said, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And I want to give you literally what Paul is saying. May God damn him. That is very blunt. That is very bold. But that was the feeling of Paul the Apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, to let us know that the gospel must be kept pure. Paul the Apostle prayed one other time that he might be accursed. Here he is praying that he might be accursed. He said, even though we bring you another gospel, I pray that God would damn me. He prayed that one other time when he prayed that God would damn him if it meant that his people Israel would be saved. This is a very important thing that he's talking about here. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you bear with him all right, is what he's saying. You accept him. But the main thing here is he's talking about another gospel. Now, very quickly, let me define what we mean by counterfeit gospel. I believe counterfeit gospel is any variation of the true gospel. Just a little bit added or a little bit subtracted from the true gospel would give us a counterfeit gospel. Most of us in our minds are thinking something that's way out. And many of the illustrations that I give you tonight from what the cults believe is way out if you know the true gospel. But you must understand that these counterfeit gospelers appeal to people who do not know the true gospel. And they sell their wares without being detected by the average person. But any variation by the addition or subtraction of the gospel makes it a counterfeit gospel. We flew over quite a body of water getting here. We spent 24 hours of darkness getting here. But when the sun finally came up, we looked down, we could see all of that expanse of water. Now let's just suppose that all of that water were pure water. How much would it take to corrupt that water? Just a drop. Just the addition of any impure matter in a pure matter makes the entire thing an impure thing. And anybody that would add or take away from the pure gospel that God has given us from heaven is a counterfeit gospeler. James said that no fountain can produce both sweet and bitter or salty and fresh water. Because the very moment that something salty or bitter is added, then it affects the entire body of water. And the pure gospel cannot tolerate any impurity, however small it may be. Now let me show you how that works. Let's suppose that we add healing to the gospel. What do we get? We get a charismatic gospel. Let's add baptism to the gospel. We get a Reformation gospel. Let's add works or sacraments to the gospel. What do we get? We get a Catholic gospel. None of those are the true gospel. Let's deduct. Let's take away repentance from sin. What do we get? We get a popular gospel. Certainly anybody will follow a gospel where there is no repentance from sin, where a person does not have to admit that he's a sinner. Certainly. And he will attract thousands of people, and many of them are doing it in America. Just take away faith toward Jesus Christ. What do you get? You get an empty gospel. Take away the blood of Christ, you get a social gospel. Take away the grace of God, you get a legalistic gospel. Take away the holiness of God, and you get a permissive gospel. And the curse of God is upon anyone who would add to or detract from the pure, true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the source of this counterfeit gospel? Now, this is so simple, I don't even have to tell you. But the Lord Jesus told us in John 8:48, Satan was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And in the verse we read, or the verse preceding the one in 2 Corinthians 11, it says, the serpent beguiled Eve. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, we'll see how he beguiled Eve. First of all, and if you want some alliteration here, he discredited God. He lied about God. He asked the question, but it was a sarcastic question. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That was sarcasm. You don't mean to tell me that God is going to withhold something from you that's good for you? You don't mean to tell me that he is going to deny you something that is beneficial to you? He lied. You know that God gave a positive permission in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. He said, you may eat of every tree of the garden. Positive permission. But he also gave a negative restriction. He said, you may not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, in a little bit, I'm going to explain why he did that. But just suffice it to say right now that there was a positive permission and a negative restriction. Those two things are necessary. Absolutely necessary in life. There's always a positive and a negative. If there is holiness, then God has told us what is not holy. If we are to follow the Lord in His holiness, then we are to shun that which is evil. There is positive and negative. But the point here is that Satan lied about God. Now you say, how did he lie about God? Well, if you'll check, and we don't have time now, but in Genesis chapter 2, you'll notice that when it speaks of God, it calls him the Lord God, meaning the loving Heavenly Father. It was the loving Heavenly Father that gave us that positive permission and negative restriction. It was the positive, or rather, the loving Heavenly Father who gave us the Garden of Eden. It was the loving Heavenly Father who gave us all of the creatures on this earth. And you'll see that in chapter 2. Now, in chapter 3, when Satan begins to speak, he said, yeah, you don't mean to tell me that God has said. That impersonal Creator who really is not interested in you. Now, the counterfeit gospel uses that as its base. I don't have time to go through all of the cults. Most all of them are alike. But basically, this is where they begin. They lie about God. They give a perverted idea of what God is really like. They don't want anybody to know that God is a loving Heavenly Father who gave His Son for them on the cross of Calvary. They deserved hell, but God loved them and made a way for them to go to heaven. They don't want them to know that. And the devil began here in Genesis 3 by saying that this impersonal Creator is really not interested in you. Anton LaVey, the beginner or founder of the Satanist Church in America, was a photographer on the streets of Chicago. And he said, if there is a God, He would not allow all of this crime and corruption that we see, so there must not be a God, and I'll just serve the devil. And everybody that comes into that cult has the same lie told to them that God really doesn't care about them. Secondly, he lied about punishment. Genesis chapter 3, again in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's a lie. Or, he denied punishment, to stay with our alliteration. Thirdly, he lied about the process to spiritual maturity. The third D is deceived. He discredited God, he denied punishment, and he deceived Eve. The false religion do exactly the same thing. They lie about God. Christian Science says God is an impersonal being, a divine principle, infinite mind. Mind is God. Where do we hear that? From the devil. Jehovah's Witnesses, God is a solitary being from eternity, unrevealed and unknown. No one has existed as His equal to reveal Him. The Mormons and the liberals and the secular humanists say practically the same thing. But what does the Word of God say? God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Deuteronomy says, the Lord, He is God, there is none else beside Him. Matthew 22 says, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Hebrews 11:6 says, He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know what that means? That means the reward is when you find Him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I used to think, what is the reward? Then it dawned on me one day, the reward is in finding Him. God rewards those who diligently seek Him by allowing them to find Him. And when you find Him, that is your reward. We do not follow after God for the benefits. We follow after the Lord because of the benefactor. 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. They lie about punishment. Spiritualism. All spirit people of wisdom, knowledge, and love know there is no hell and no devil. That's a lie. Unity School of Christianity says, the law of life is based in mind action, and through the mind we resurrect ourselves from the dead. That's a lie. The liberals say, God is too loving and merciful to send any of His creatures to eternal punishment. That's a lie. The Word of God says, all that are in the grave shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. Revelation 20 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and were judged every man according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They also lie about spiritual maturity. The liberals say every man's a citizen of the kingdom of God, regardless of his spiritual condition. The kingdom of evil does not exist. No distinction should be made between things holy and unholy. Sin is not a personal but a social evil, the result of improper social conditions. Man is inherently good, and the divine plan of salvation is only superstition. The Mormons say there are many worlds controlled by many gods. Salvation is progression toward becoming a god. They believe in spiritual evolution. That is, what man is now, God was at one time. And what God is now, man will become in the future. The Seventh-day Adventists are a little bit closer. They believe that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. But, they add, and that makes it a counterfeit gospel. The test of true salvation, they say, is in the keeping of the Old Testament law. They lie. The Word of God says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you will, quickly to Ephesians chapter 2 and the first three verses, and we find man's condition. Let me give you very quickly an outline. Man's condition. Ephesians chapter 2. The first three verses we find his condition. He is, first of all, spiritually dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There is absolutely no relationship that man has with God. He is dead. Spiritually dead. The relationship has been broken. It was broken by sin. He was born with a sinful nature. He's spiritually dead. That's his condition. Secondly, he's spiritually pliable. Look at verse 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You wonder why they run from fad to fad? Because they're spiritually pliable. They do not have the character to stand. They must be led about. And the devil has the ring in their nose leading them about wherever he wants them to go. That's the reason they run from long hair, to short skirts, to long shirt skirts, and all the rest. Because they're spiritually pliable. They run from rock music to disco music and all the rest. Why? Because they're spiritually pliable. They're spiritually dead, that which makes them spiritually pliable, meaning that they can be tested and turned, twisted and turned in any way that the devil so desires. I remember hearing of a farmer who had a whole bunch of hogs. And this farmer lost his voice. And he didn't know what he was going to do because he had been calling the hogs to feed them. And so he devised the plan that he would knock on the railing to get the hogs over. And they learned to do that. And then he would feed his hogs. Well, one day a woodpecker came out and started pecking on the wood. And the hogs ran over to where the woodpecker was. They thought they were going to get fed. Went by there running over there, it scared the woodpecker, and he went over to another place. And he started pecking over there. The hogs didn't find any feed there, so they heard the knocking over there. They went over there. That's exactly the way unsaved people are. They're spiritually dead. They're spiritually pliable. They're running from here to there. Whoever knocks the loudest, they run hither and yon. Thirdly, they're spiritually disobedient. The second part of verse 2, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what got us into trouble right in the very beginning. Thirdly, they're spiritually devoid of morality. Verse 3, the first part of that, among whom also we all had our behavior in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Then next, they are spiritually condemned. The last part of that verse, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the negative part. But the positive part follows that in verses 4 through 9, God's remedy. This is what the Word of God tells us about man's spiritual condition. His remedy. Verse 4, a godly concern. God is not the way they picture Him. And that the devil would have us to believe that he is. God is concerned. If you look at the first two words of verse 9, it says, but God. Man's condition? Spiritually dead. Spiritually pliable. Spiritually disobedient. Devoid of morality. And under the condemnation of the wrath of God. But God. Godly concern. He loved us because He's merciful. You know what merciful means? To take pity on the miserable. And God took pity on us who are miserable. But God, a godly concern. And then in the verse 5, the last part of that, we notice godly power. He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. He has made us alive. That's what quickened means. Godly power. And then in verse 6, godly elevation, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then the godly gift, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then in verse 10, we find God's godly work. We are His workmanship. That's spiritual maturity. Now, let's go on to the popularity of the counterfeit gospel. It's very popular. Paul said to the Galatians, "I marvel that you're so soon removed." Why is it that the counterfeit gospel, the perversion of the gospel of Christ, is so popular? Well, that it is popular, we know. And I'll tell you why in just a few moments. 1 John 5:19 says that we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The churches have quit preaching the Word of God. Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. May I give you a literal translation of that? Where there is no word from the Lord, the people run wild. As I was reading about the cults and how Jim Jones was able to deceive and delude 900 people into killing themselves or allow themselves to be killed, when I thought that in the United States of America we have between 20 and 26 million people who are following these cults, when I thought that and found out that in 10-year period of time they gained into their membership 8 million members between 1968 and 1978. 8 million, that's 800,000 a year. And we're talking about false cults. We're talking about the New Age cults. And I'll give you the breakdown. In fact, let me give you that now. There are four major categories of cults. There are the non-Christian religions of the East. At least 10 of those. We have those in America. Pseudo-Christian religions of the West. There are at least 6 of those. They call themselves Christian. The occult religions and systems. There are at least 6 of those. The new religions and cults, they call themselves the New Age religions, at least 5 of those, making a total of at least 27. Now, when you couple with that the two world religions that we have, Roman Catholicism and the Charismatic movement, you have 29 religions. It's interesting to note that the Roman Catholic Church, the Charismatic movement, make up a sort of a religious humanism that will yoke up with the Antichrist and his secular humanism. You read in Revelation 13:18, the number of the Antichrist will be 666. We learn from Scripture that the number 6, or at least if you believe in numbers, the number 6 is man's number, and 3 is God's number, and you put the 3 sixes together and you get man standing in God's place. We get a religious humanism and a secular humanism coming together to make up that great whore and the beast in Revelation 17. And when God calls some institution a whore, He means that they have apostatized from that which He decreed. But here's the reason this counterfeit gospel is popular. Because it has 3 emphases. Let me give you these very quickly. It emphasizes, first of all, the new over the old. They come along and they say, look, the old has not worked. Why don't you try the new thing that we offer you? That's why they call themselves the New Age religions. They're offering that which is new or strange, as the Scripture calls it, over the old or the familiar. They say, you don't need the Bible. You don't need the Word of God. It hasn't worked for you in the past. Come and follow us. We've got something that works. And they're beating us at our own game, beloved. Eve was offered new or strange fruit. Satan caused Eve to focus on the strange or forbidden tree. It appeals to people because stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. The counterfeit gospel offers a new truth, a new knowledge, a new revelation. It focuses away from the old or the familiar. This is the reason that Paul says they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning some new thing. God has given us all we need to know in the Word of God. All the truth that's necessary for man has been revealed to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it is said, of He said of Himself, in fact, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. He is the truth. And all the truth that we need to know is to be found in Him. But also in the Scriptures, we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God for reproof and correction and so forth, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We don't need anything new. They're preaching that which is new over the old. Secondly, they emphasize self over sin. If you've heard anybody talk about self-discovery, serving the self and discovering the divinity within, you may have heard them talk about self-worth, self-image, and self-discovery. Actually, they say this. They say, you follow us, and we will bring out the very best in you. We'll bring out the real you. That which is there, but it's trapped. We'll bring it out. And they deceive many. Many hundreds of thousands of people are following them because of the fact that they are in soul trouble. And these false cults offer them a substitute, but they don't know the difference. The Bible gives us man's true condition. He was created in innocency. He failed in his only opportunity to prove his own self-worth. Now, let me emphasize that again. We had an opportunity to prove our self-worth. So they come along and they say, you're really hurting yourself by not following us. We want to help you discover what's really there. We had our chance. Because in the Garden of Eden, God gave us, as I told you, a positive permission and a negative restriction. Why do you suppose God did that? I believe it's because God wanted us to have a part in our creation. He made us in His own image. God Himself is sovereign. Now, I don't mean that we're apart from Him. We're still His creation. We're still His creatures. But I think because God made us with a free will, God gave us the opportunity there by exercising obedience to Him to have a part in taking our souls from innocency to spiritual maturity. He gave us the opportunity. All we would have had to have done would just be obedient. God saw that we failed, and that meant that we became responsible for our own spiritually depraved condition. That meant that there's nothing good in man, and it's his fault. Not God's fault. It's his fault. In Psalm 14, God says, I looked upon this earth to see if there were any that did understand. And he says, I found none. And he came to the conclusion that there is none good. No, not one. And then thirdly, these cults emphasize experience over doctrine, or emotion over rationality. Special revelations over the Word of God. Joseph Smith claimed a vision in 1820 wherein both God and his son appeared to him to tell him all churches were an abomination to God, and he was chosen to restore the true gospel to the world. Moon of the Unification Church claims to have talked with Jesus, John the Baptist, and others. He was supposed to have received his commission from God, together with his wife, his fourth wife, to produce a pure race and restore man to his condition before the fall. I have a clipping here from a newspaper about Oral Roberts. Striving to build his City of Faith Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, says that a 900-foot image of Jesus assured him the hospital would be built. I don't know how he knew it was 900 feet, but he said it was. In his letter to potential backers of the project, Roberts related, "I felt an overwhelming presence all around me. When I opened my eyes, there he stood, some 900 feet tall, looking at me. His eyes, oh, his eyes, he stood a full 300 feet taller than the 600-foot tall City of Faith. There I was face to face with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The towering apparition put his hands under the half-completed City of Faith complex and lifted it," Roberts says, adding that the image told him, "See how easy it is for me to lift it?" Roberts also quotes Jesus as saying in the encounter, "I told you that I would speak to your partners, and through them I would build it." Emphasizes emotion over rationality. We have the Word of God. We do not need emotion. They'll emphasize tongues instead of repentance and faith. A man came to an evangelist one time and said, "I spoke in other tongues. Boy, it was wonderful. I was under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. It was just wonderful." And he said to the evangelist, "Have you ever spoken in other tongues?" The evangelist says, "No." He says, "I have enough trouble controlling the one tongue I've got." But they can't live unless there's emotion. The proof of salvation is a changed life, the Word of God tells us. Now, there are many things that the counterfeit gospel imitates. Let me give you this. They imitate God. A follower of Jim Jones said this, "Jim Jones is the only God I've ever known." They imitate Christ. Moon claims to be the third Adam. He says there's a third testament that gives him the right to operate the way he is in this new age. Jones would take the Bible, spit on it, throw it on the floor, stomp on it, and then yell with the top of his voice, "I am the second coming of Christ." They imitate the gospel. And they imitate salvation. It is so close, but it is not the gospel. There are two things they cannot imitate. They cannot imitate our righteousness, 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, and they cannot imitate our love. No way can they imitate those two things. What's our attitude toward the counterfeit gospel? No compromise, no tolerance. Ezekiel 3:9, "As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks." And then we're to treat this as an infection in the body. And it's just that to the body of Christ. It's an infection. John says, "We are of God, but the whole world lieth in wickedness." I was reading a book that told me that when there's an infection in the body, the white blood cells, which are usually just cruising along in the bloodstream, immediately go into action. They run to that part, and each cell will take a part of that infection and will cover it as a blanket, and then will engulf that part of the infection or the evil bacteria or bad bacteria. And inside that white blood cell, there will be a tiny explosion that actually kills that bacteria or that infection. And beloved, I believe that we are the white blood cells, and God expects us to treat this infection in the same way. I want to just close by saying, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, after listing all of the things that men would be and do in the last days, he said to him in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, continue in the things you have learned. You be strong in the Word, and you'll not have to worry about the cults. You'll not have to worry about false teaching. I'm told that the cedars of Lebanon are so sturdy and so strong that a parasite, instead of feeding upon them, will die. And that's exactly what God expects you and us, you and me, to be. So strong that we will eventually rout out these false cults. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank Thee so much for the truth of the Word of God. We're so grateful to Thee for the Holy Spirit who guides us into truth. Thou hast sanctified us by Thy truth. And I would pray Thee, Lord, to open the hearts and minds of these Thy people here and help each one to see their part in routing out this infection of the body of Christ in the way that it tries, in every way it can, to get in. But help us to be strong in our righteousness and in our love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, just write us and send us a check for $7 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. South Carolina residents, please send $7.20. Just mention the speaker, Dr. Bob Rhodes, the message titled The Counterfeit Gospel, and today's date. Please join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.